Hey, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so good to have you here. Today is Vision Sunday. Can we just say Vision Sunday? Vision Sunday. I pray today will be just inspirational to you, will connect your heart closer to the core of what we're doing at Journey Church. And by the way, thank you for being here on Labor Day weekend, for not leaving town like everyone else has. I know Troy is usually not the destination. It's usually the departure to somewhere else, but thank you so much for being here with us. And for those of you listening on the podcast and you are somewhere on a lake right now suffering for Jesus, we pray for you. Amen. No, but we pray you get back. We pray you get back safely. Amen. Enjoy a good time out with your family. But, you know, it's Vision Sunday, and we're going to look ahead this morning at what is in front of us as Journey Church. But before we do that, I just want to say I'm thankful for the past. We have a great past here in this church, and you know, particularly the past couple of weekends, probably the last 4 or 5 weekends at this church have just moved me, have grown me, as I pray it has grown you. I mean, just going back to when we closed the summer at the movie series with Groundhog Day, and that dream skit was just wow, you know? That was incredible, and to see the altars packed, and by altar I mean just the front of this room, I mean, you couldn't even fit up here of people that were just, I mean, they were down, we were all down the aisles just pursuing after unlocking dreams in our hearts. That was just a powerful, powerful weekend. And then the next weekend after that, we did baptism where we baptized nearly 40 people. Like, we got to do that. See, we're spoiled. We're spoiled on that. I don't know if you knew this, but the 2013 annual church report, the average church in America in 2013, and studies and statistics have not created a trend to increase this. In 2013, the average church in America reported one baptism. Average church in America reports one baptism a year. And I don't know if we realize how rare of a place and a people and a community that Journey Church is and what we get to be a part of. Amen. 40 people, and then we had more people say, I want to be baptized, so we're going to do another baptism in the backyard here, and just look for that information. We're going to be targeting around the beginning of October. We got a water heater, so you don't got to worry. We won't freeze you. But that was awesome to be a part of that, people being identified. And then the weekend after that, Steve Lummer, what a great message he preached here. Before we had the service, we did the dedication of our children's wing. And I got to check my daughter into a beautiful facility. Amen. How cool was that? You got to check your kids in to a beautiful facility. I'm telling you, there's nothing like that. Our children's pastor, Danny, had said this, that, you know, that now we get to have the children's facility that other children's pastors come to and go, why can't I have something cool like this? Like, we got that facility that's like that. And Pastor Danny was telling me last weekend that all the kids were in the right over here in this the first through fifth grade chapel, and they all screamed in unison at the same time, thank you, and we didn't hear them, because this is a good wall, amen, and we don't do it to keep their noise out, because I love the noise of our kids, it just is life in a church. I do it to keep our noise out for them, because they need to be able to concentrate and hear. They're already a squirrel, as enough as it is, and so they don't need our distractions. But I thought if they could, let's do that. They're gonna go back there and get all those kids ready, and we're gonna hear them say thank you. And when we hear them say thank you, I told them to scream as loud as they can. We open the door, so we'll probably get a little bit down the hallway. And then when they say thank you, I thought it would be cool if we just responded with a big "You're welcome," you know. So we'll hear them say thank you, and then I want them to hear us say you're welcome. Now, I was told that they hardly heard us say you're welcome in the 9 a.m. service, but you guys are the later service, so you've gotten your sleep. Coffee is in your veins. Are they ready? Let's listen. It'll take them a second. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3. You're welcome! All right. If they didn't hear that, we got some deaf kids out there, amen. But, man, just so many standout moments over the last couple of weeks. One standout in particular was Chief of police, Jeff Taylor, standing here on this platform and exhorting our church on the reach that this church has in our community. And to see the chief of police stand on our stage and look out and go, "I know a lot of you," was something I expected him to say, because we're Journey Church and we're all jacked up. We even named our cafe after that. You know, I expected to hear that, but what came out of his mouth after that is what really warmed my heart, when he said, "And I'm so glad that you're here." You know, that was amazing to hear that. And you know, for, I don't know how you guys know the chief of police. I'm certain it wasn't through positive situations for some of you, but I can say that you're here. And I'm watching life change happen. I just want to say that we have a rich history, rich seven-year history of this church that is behind us. And this past Monday, I felt a page turn as we had the dedication of this building to our community. I felt the page turn from one season to the next as Missy and I cut that ribbon. And we were there with so many people. Thank you so much for giving of your Monday morning. For those of you that were able to, for those of you who were not able to, we completely understand. We know you were there with us in spirit. And I know even many of our community leaders showed up and just came there in support of our church. And it was just a dynamic moment for us. And like I said, something shifted when I cut that ribbon. Really, I had the show scissors. Missy had the real ones. And that's really what being a pastor is. I'm the show. She's the real deal. She's the real work behind it all. But, you know, I felt a shift into a new season after I cut that ribbon. From one season to the next, from one chapter to the next, I felt a shift into a new season after 7 years. You know, God works in sevens. If you see in the Bible, you see, I mean, there's a significant number in seven. But as we head into as we walk into the next season, as we walk toward the next seven, I want to reiterate and I want to make plain to you who we are as Journey Church. Because some things have changed since we first began over 7 years. And allow me to explain. You know, we never really put much light since our starting of as to a vision or a mission at Journey Church. Like, we've never put much light on a vision statement or a mission statement at Journey Church. We really just kind of had a tagline that kind of held hands with those things. And the tagline, if you ever bought one of those old splotch Journey Church t-shirts that had the journey on it, on the back it had a statement that said, "Real faith, relevant life," right? You see it on our signs, billboards we'd put out, "Real faith, relevant life." And that was really our vision and mission. You know, it was really just a tagline to display out to tell the world who we are, that when you come into this community, you can expect those two things. You can expect real faith. You can expect real. You're not going to walk in here and get a bunch of fake people. How many know what I'm talking about? You're not going to get fake. You're not going to get the fake smile. You're not going to get the fake handshake. You're going to get real yellow teeth smiles, right? You're going to get real those pearly white smiles. You're going to get real some have no teeth smiles. You're going to get gums, right? You're going to get people that are really happy to see you. You're going to get real handshakes, real hugs, real high fives, because this is a church that celebrates who you are no matter where you came from. We're all jacked up people, and we are all headed toward the same God, some at different paces, but we embrace the same faith, and we want to do that. And also relevant life, relevant meaning to make understanding of where you get it. I don't want to create a church culture where there's lingo that you don't understand. I've been a part of communities before where you're like, "I don't even know what that means," or you know, it's tough to understand where we want to be relevant, where people understand, where we can take the gospel message that should never be compromised, altered, or changed, and make it relevant down to your level, where you can live it out. And we have done that here at this church, and we have done that well. And after 7 years, there's some adjustments that I have made in prayer to our vision and to our mission. To take our vision and mission to the next level, if you would. And this is going to be new to you. It's going to be new to many of you. This is going to be new even to our leadership here today, as I felt in prayer to communicate this as a blanket to everyone, what our vision and mission is here at Journey Church. And many people find confusion in vision and mission. Like, what's the difference between the two? What's the difference between a vision statement and a mission statement? What's the difference between a vision and a mission? And let me just share that. A vision, the vision of an organization, the vision of a church is all about where we're headed. It's all about where we're going. It's why we exist. It's future. It's tomorrow. It's where we are going as an organization. A vision statement is about where we are headed. And a mission statement, a mission is all about how you plan to get there. The strategy you have to go to that place. What you plan to do to get to where your vision says you are headed. And does that make sense? Vision is where you're going. The mission is how you get there. And in praying about the vision of our church, in praying about the vision of Journey Church, why we exist as a church, where we are headed as a church, the future of why we exist as Journey Church, I've been praying for a little over a year. And I say that because it was right around the beginning of last summer. A little over a year as to what the vision of our church is. Next level from just real faith, relevant life. What is the vision of our church? And there was one word that just kept popping up in my spirit, in my head, in my mind's eye when I would pray, when I would fast. And it was this word, dream. This word, dream, just kept coming up in my heart, and I would try and push it down, and it just would keep popping up, and dream, 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 dream just kept popping up. What is the vision of our church? And the word dream, I just couldn't shake it. I couldn't pray it away. I couldn't move it away from my mind. Dream, dream, dream. So I wrote that word down, and I started writing statements around that word as to what our vision is here at Journey Church, why we exist. And I wrote a statement, edited it few times in prayer, and I just got the statement down, and I would stare at it and stare at it day after day after day after day, and prayer after prayer, I would stare. And I want to share with you what it is that God has spoken to me that I wrote down concerning the vision of our church. The vision of Journey Church is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. The dream of Journey Church, the vision of Journey Church, why we exist as a church. This is important for you to know as you've come into this community of faith, who we are and why we exist and where we're headed. We exist to see dreams discovered and built and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Plain and simple, we exist to see your dreams become reality. And we want to see this happen here. We want to see this happen here locally. We want to see this happen here abroad, not just here locally. Because we've been seeing that happen here in this church. I even asked Missy about this, and be careful who you let in, you know, to what God's speaking to you. But my wife is somebody, obviously, I take everything I feel God speaking to me through the filter of her time of prayer as well. And she went and showed me notes because she takes notes during the messages. And she was saying, you know, I've come across, this has been a theme of many of your messages since the beginning. She goes, I even came here, this is what you said in Bonfils right when we started. And she said this. She said that this was preached in Bonfils as to why we exist as a church. And it says this, our dream is to see your dream come true. Wow. And that's what it's all about. It's Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, for I know, God says, the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And he says that these plans exist to give you hope and a future. Meaning you were put on this planet for a reason, because to you is attached a set of plans from your Creator. There is a set of plans to your life. Think about that. That means the breath in your body is there for a reason. You're on this planet for a reason. And that reason and purpose and those plans are what we call the dream that is in you. Why you are here, why you were made, and we are here to get you to those plans. Because when you die, friends, and I went and checked the stats before I came out, and one out of every one person die. I'll wait for some of you. Hebrews 9:27, a man is destined to die once, and after that, the judgment. And when we stand before the judgment seat of God, you will be judged, and I will be judged on this fact. Did you do what I put you on the earth to do? And I want to be a pastor that helps you get to the point that when you arrive at the judgment seat of God, you're like, let's go, right? Instead of, let's go, right? Right? I want you to see your life arrive at fulfilling the Jeremiah 29:11 plans. I've seen people, some have come in here just through serving and have found a dream. Serving in children's. We've had children's workers come and they thought they knew their dream, but then a God dream came alive in them. And they said, I'm called to teach kids, or I'm called to, it was, or some people through our outreach ministries or an experience at an altar here have discovered a dream. I've seen people come in here with broken dreams, coming off the pain of a divorce or a parenting issue or even through addiction. And I've seen dreams that were broken be rediscovered and are being rebuilt. That's why we're building a dream center. And how do we plan on continuing to accomplish that? How do we plan on accomplishing seeing dreams discovered and built and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt? Which is the vision, but what's the mission? How do we plan on accomplishing that? We accomplish that, and this is the mission of Journey Church that I want to communicate to you from this day forward. And the mission of Journey Church is simple, and it's threefold. You accomplish that when you love Him, when you love His word, and when you love His world. You accomplish that when you love Him, when you love His word, and when you love His world. Everything we do at Journey Church must encompass, it must be possessed with these three tenets that you see behind me on this screen. And I want to preach on these three things for just a minute. Number one, we must love Him. We must love Him. How many know what I'm talking about when I say love Him? Because how many know when you experience God's love, there's nothing like it? How many remember where you were when you realized that God loves you? And you, I mean, it wasn't like He loves the world. No, like you realized that this wasn't about a religion. That you realized that this was about a relationship. And that your Creator loves you personally. How many remember when that hit you and it went deep? For me, it was September 15th, 1993. I'll never forget it. When I experienced for the first time the love of God. There is nothing like experiencing. There is nothing like encountering the love of God. God loves you, friend. Somebody say, God loves you. God loves you, friend. The love. That's why we painted that word in big old hearty orange, in case you want to know the paint color. Hearty orange letters right there in that entryway when you come in, which I've been told you can see from the road, too. The love of God. There's nothing like His love. He loves you. But after we experience His love, after we experience the receiving of that love, after we have that love shown to us, that agape. The word agape is Greek for God kind of love. After we experience that God kind of love, that John 3:16 love, for God so loved the world, that love, that Romans 5:8, and God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God showed that. John 15:16, no greater love is there than this, than one who would lay down his life for his friend. Once we experience that love, we then have a responsibility. And it's this, to love him back. To love him back. There's a song we used to sing when I first started going to church when I was 15. They didn't sing new cool songs like this. It was back then the old school hymns. It wasn't looking on a screen. It was turning the book in front of you in the pew to a certain page number and you would read the song. And there was a song we used to sing called, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Remember that song? Sing it with me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because he first loved me, right? He first loved me. He first loved me, and my response is the first part of that song, to love him back. When I connect my love to him after he's connected his love to me, when I connect my love to him, when I give my heart to him, when I connect my heart to Jesus, I come alive. My spirit comes alive. My heart is set free, and my purpose and dream come out blooming when I love him. Somebody say a good amen. Jesus said this in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 38. He was asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" Somebody went up to Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, and he says, "What's numero uno? What is it? What's at the top of the list for me to live out? What is number one on the priority list for my life?" And he said these words, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." We have a responsibility to respond to the love that was given to us. You see, our goal and our mission here at Journey Church is to create an atmosphere that allows us to live that out right there. If that's numero uno, that needs to be numero uno on our mission. We've got to make sure that we are building an atmosphere that encourages you, that compels you to love him in everything that we do here in this church. Now, I don't know if you saw this wallpaper out here. We got it for you on the screen, but it's super tiny because it was, you know, it's impossible to see unless you got eagle eyes. But like this wallpaper out here that you see has these three words: love him, love his word, love his world. I'm sorry, these three statements. And this wallpaper, when you come out, I love the very top left corner. And I know you can't see me right now, most of you, and we may feel a little disconnected in the moment, but please indulge me in this moment as I preach at this wallpaper. But at the top left of this corner, I love it. It says, "Love him," and then underneath it, there's imagery. And that imagery, the first thing that it shows is teenagers worshiping God at Rise Camp. Teenagers, if you love Rise Camp, give it up for Rise Camp. There's nothing like youth camp. We took nearly 80 people to Rise Camp this year. And I remember at Rise Camp, I had the privilege to preach Thursday night, so I went down there a day early. And I saw just the environment, and it was a Wednesday night, and I could not believe it. But man, there was no speaker on Wednesday night. They just worshiped for hours. Your students worshiped for hours. Don't tell me what your student can't do. I'm telling you, they worshiped for hours. And it wasn't like bored. They were hands out, like arms out of their socket, reaching for heaven, like worshiping for hours. And the worship leader comes up and he says, that there are some students in this room that are struggling with suicidal thoughts. He said, God's showing me that. Who is it? Because if that's you, you don't feel like you have any worth. You don't feel like you have any value to your life, and you just want to end it right now. You need to come on up here. And I was thinking, man, none of our students are going to come up there. But four of our students went up with other youth ministries that had students come up. Four of our students, students on our watch, went up because they don't feel like they have any worth in their life, and they were ready to end it. I was told some of them had notes written. Some students, they don't have parents that espouse biblical values. Some of these students go home to hell after Wednesday night. And they just can't take the conflict. Notes written out. And I watched this worship leader guide them in this moment as he said, listen, God loves you, but you got to do something too. You got to give that to him. There's got to be a response to his love. And I watched these students experience the response of God's love, the blanket of God's love. But what I also watched these students, and it was more powerful than what I saw the first thing, was when they responded back by their hands going out saying, God, I love you back. God, I give you my life. God, I'm not going to believe the lie that the world has been telling me that I'm not worth anything. I believe that you have died for me, so I'm going to live for you. And I watch students walk away from the lie that the world had been feeding them. How many think that's absolutely amazing right there? Students choosing life, and they found freedom when they chose to respond to his love. Freedom is found in our love for him. Freedom is found in our love for him. It was a couple years ago, not here, over there, at the other building, and somebody came up to me after the service, and they said, thank you. And I said, why? Why don't you tell me thank you? And they said, because you don't know what I've been through. And they began to tell me what they've been through, the molestation in their life, the time they were a kid, and begin to share the abuse and the neglect. And they said, you know what it's like growing up every day feeling ignored. You know what it's like growing up every day feeling rejected. You know what it's like. It makes you feel worthless. And this person said, you know, I don't feel like nobody would ever want my heart. Who would want my love? I don't have anything of value to give. This is what, you know what the world does to me? This is who I am. This is what I deserve. Nobody wants my love. Nobody wants my heart. Person tell me this, and they look up, and we had a cross that Sunday where we nailed everybody's sins to the cross. Some of you were in there, you remember that Sunday. And they pointed at that cross and said, but today you showed me that I'm worth so much that he would come and do that for me. And so today I give my life to him. I'm gonna give him my heart. And I loved what they said after this. And I believe when I did that, I made his day. Wow. And I said, you have no idea what a day you've made for heaven above. They're all celebrating your name right now. How many know we have to respond back to find our life progress forward in the freedom he's given us? Somebody say a good amen. We have to love him. Number two, we have to love his world. I'm sorry, love his word. We must love his word. It's one thing to say you love him. It's one thing. But Jesus said the proof of your love for me is found in your love for this. It's quiet. Jesus said the proof of your love for me is found in your love for this. John 14:15. Let me summarize it by what Jesus actually said. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let me say this to you. Freedom is given, but freedom has to be maintained. You see, we receive God's love. Some of you remember where you were. We respond to God's love by loving him back. But then we got to learn how to live in that love. And that's where this comes in. I got to learn how to live in that love. Because Christianity isn't a one-time experience that launches you. It's every day. And you got to learn how to live in that love. And if you're living this out, then you're living it out. If you're living this out, then you're living your love out. Then you're living out his plans for you. Then you're living out that map for your life that will build in you and take you to the dream he created for you to live in. We have to let this thing go beyond just the surface. We have to let this thing go beyond the surface of just our ears and our eyes. We've got to let this thing in. We've got to let this thing go deep into the very fabric and root of our lives. We've got to create a relationship with this right here. We've got to create a relationship. We've got to create a marriage with this. You've got to be married to this. We have to let this thing go beyond the surface of our lives and get into the deep parts of our lives. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God. Somebody say word of God. This right here that I hold in my grip. For the word of God is, what's the next word? It's alive. It's alive, right? It's alive. It lives. What does that mean when he says, for the word of God is alive? That means it lives as much as you live. It is with you. It breathes like you breathe. And you're like, right? It's alive, friends. Here's what it means. It's not yesterday's news. It's today's hope. Every day. I've read scriptures 9 years ago that meant something to me then. And I've read the same scripture 9 years later, and it meant something to me different, but yet brought me toward the same God. His word is alive. It's relevant. It doesn't fall out of relevance. Something that's not alive falls out of relevance, but something that is alive is always relevant because it lives every day. For the word of God is alive and you know what the translation for active means? The raw translation for that word means this: mighty when in operation. Man, that's good. Mighty when in operation. Meaning you can't expect results just by hearing it. You can't expect results just by reading it. You can only expect results by doing it. Mighty when in operation. And I love the next part of this verse because it talks about its reach abilities. And I was always confused about the next part of this verse because it says this, for the word of God is living and active. Listen, it says this, and sharper than any double-edged sword. Okay, I get that. I got a double-edged sword and it's sharp. Cool, let's move on. And it says this, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Now I was like, what does that even mean? It penetrates, okay, I get that, goes into, right? Even to dividing soul and spirit. I never understand what that means. I was like, what is that talking about? Is it like slicing me? Is it hurting me? Like, I never understood really what that means. But I went and found the raw translation of it. And what you see on the screen is actually a translation that was kind of poorly translated. And you got to understand, like, these are translations from, like, late 1800s, early 1900s. And we are doing our best to try and study and know this ancient language. And sometimes they do a great job and sometimes a little off. But the proper translation here of this particular point of Scripture says this, word of God is a double-edged sword that penetrates to the point where your soul divides from your spirit. penetrates to the point where your soul divides to your spirit. And that right there is highlighting and displaying insane pinpoint accuracy. That the Word of God can go to the place so defined, so thin, that it can go right where your soul divides from your spirit. Anybody touch that with your finger? Anybody know where? I don't even know what to do. The Word of God can go places you can't go on your own. Where your soul, what is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Where your soul divides from your spirit, where is your spirit? Your conscience. It can go to those places. It can target those areas of your life. It can work in even the most minute areas of your life where no human hand can go, where no human word could go or could take you. The Word of God goes there and operates. It can go deep. And it says it judges the thoughts and attitudes of your heart. How many of you have ever had a bad day and you just got a bad attitude? And you read God's word and you're like, I got a bad attitude. It's a judge for you. Can I just say this? You have the greatest help you could ever have in his word. This will do more for you than any sermon point could ever do for you from a self-help guy or anything like that. Any amount of motivational speaker could ever do. The Word of God can do things no man can do. Read it and live it. Because when you connect yourself to His Word, you realize who you are in His Word. That's good preaching. Amen. Thank you. When you connect to His Word, you realize who you are in His Word. And here's what I mean. It was about a week and a half ago, we were working on the building, overtime, overdrive. I get home late, and I'm closing the garage door. I'm walking from my car to the house, and I see something scurry across the garage floor. And my eyes hit it, and it's a salamander, about that big. But when I saw that sucker, I was like, like I freaked out, man, like in the garage, because I'd never seen something like that before in my garage. I've seen a cricket, I've seen a frog. Frog make me do that, but a salamander, man, I went nuts, like little girl nuts. Like, and I'm like, and I'm shaking, all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, it's a stinking salamander. So then I chase the salamander, you know, I'm like, come on, dude, let's do this. And so the salamander's fast and it took off. But like I felt like in that moment, like, remember the cartoon Dumbo? And there's a scene in Dumbo where the big elephants are in the circus and something walks into the tent and these elephants freak out, right? They're like, and they jump on poles and they're hiding and they're so scared of what has just walked in the room. And you get the impression when you see this type of reaction, you're like, man, what is it that walked in this room? It must be freak beast nature in size. It must be so intimidating to scare stinking elephants. I mean, those things are huge. And it's scaring an elephant. And what was it that walked in the tent? That, right, it's trying to create the shadow, that scared that. When you compare the size, who should be scared? When you compare the abilities to do damage, who should be scared of who? The mouse should be scared. But fear is a powerful thing. Unbelief in your potential is a powerful thing. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking of myself freaking out over a salamander in my garage, thinking of Dumbo. Then I begin to think about the church. And I thought, man, that's so many in the church. Scared of the little things the enemy brings into our lives. I say that because I read your Facebook statuses. I have 2,160 friends, and I don't expect to see any less after today. I'll find out who deleted me. Like, I read your statuses. Not just you, but I are believers. Like, we're believers, which means we believe. We believe what? We believe this, right? And this says that we're more than conquerors through Christ. We are not just conquerors. I think it'd be cool if it just called us a conqueror. Anybody know what a conqueror is? Something that conquers. That is big. And he says, we're more than that. You see, a conqueror, we're more than that. We believe that we're more than conquerors. We believe that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We believe that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But yet I see believers when something small that hell tries to bring in your life runs across your garage floor. You stop believing in who you are. And when you stop believing in who you are, I would guess 99.9 times out of 100 that you have stopped connecting yourself to his word. Because when you start connecting yourself to his word, you start realizing who you are. That you're not the one that should be scared of the doctor's report. You're not the one that should be scared of the bill that you don't know how you're going to pay. That you shouldn't be the one scared about the problem you're experiencing in your relationship. That you shouldn't be the one scared about job security. That you shouldn't be the one scared about anything hell brings towards your way, because you are so much bigger than anything hell could ever bring your way. If anything, they should be fearful of what they are even doing by treading in your presence. That's who you are. You are a believer connected to your Father, and you find that connecting to his word. Somebody say a good amen. Amen. Number three, we have to love his world. Love him, right? We experience his love and we give him our love. And we have a relationship with that love. And then we love his word, which is when where we learn how to live that love out. But then it doesn't end. We have to see the importance of loving his world, which is where we learn to give that love out. Where we realize this love doesn't exist just for us. This love exists for the world around me too. This love is in me to be shared with others who so desperately need it. The problem with many churches in the world today is when church becomes about these four walls. And let me tell you something, Journey Church. This church will never become about these four walls. And I certainly wish we could see outside these walls when I say this. John 3:16, for God so loved the what? That whoever believes in him would not perish. It's the will of God that none should perish, but have everlasting life. Now that showcases God's love. John chapter 15, you just go 12 chapters later, verse 12, and Jesus says this, my command for you is this. You know my love. Now he says this, love each. What's the next word? Other, which means not you, them. Love each other. Love each other. Who was that other? Love your neighbor. Love your neighborhood. Love your boss. Love your coworker. Love the person that you have had a hard time loving. Love the person checking you out at the grocery store, giving you a bad look because they're having a bad day. Love them anyway. Love the person who cuts you off on the highway. Don't give them the bird. Give them the word. Amen. Not that word. Give them the word. Love them anyway. Love your family. Love the homeless. Love the hungry. Love the tired. Love the weak. Love the orphan. Love the widow. Love the needy. Love the rich. Love the businessman.
Love the prideful. Love the sinner. God says, as I have loved you. I could go back to that wallpaper, man, and just preach and spit all over that wall with preaching, man. Just, I apologize. See, that's why nobody sits really on the front row. It's called the soak zone, right? I just get passionate. But I love that wallpaper because there you also see other visual examples of people that are loving his world. You see a visual example, like there's a picture in there of Keith Melanchon, who's in our first service. If you've ever met Keith Melanchon, that guy is one of the most genuine, joyful, peaceful men you'll ever meet. It is hard not to feel good after a conversation with Keith Melanchon. And he went into this coffee shop. I forget the name of the coffee shop. Roasted bean. And he went in there, he's just playing guitar. Being Keith, he's a deadhead too, man. He's just, you know, just Jerry Garcia reincarnated but loving Jesus. Just that guy right there. And he's just out there just giving it out, man, just loving the world. You'll see people that are serving in Adopt-A-Block, just mowing lawns, repairing electrical things in houses, just loving people, loving our neighborhood. See women and that meet here on Mondays that are just making cards for prisoners that are just trying to live for Jesus behind bars, and they're just writing encouraging notes. You'll see a church that packs on a parade float to Journey music. And I don't mean Journey worship music, to Don't Stop music, right? On a 1,000-degree day in July, and through sweat, smiles down the street just to let people know that God loves them too. And when you live that out, when you love him, when you love his word and you love his world, and you are applying your life and letting them stand and rest on those tenets, you will find yourself getting to a dream that he created in you to have. Let me just say this, no matter your dream, because some of you may not know your dream yet. Or you may think you know your dream, but you're about to get rocked when you live this out. When the God dream comes out. Because I'll tell you this, you'll know if your dream is from God if the dream in you is about honoring God and helping others. Every dream that is of God is about honoring God and helping others. It's not to give you fame or a name. I'm not saying famous people are bad. God will give you a platform, but it's not about the fame. If God's given you influence, not fame. If your dream is about honoring God and helping others. And I don't want to discourage you, because you may be saying, well, what does that mean? I got to work at a church to have a dream? Like, no, that can be done in so many ways of life. There are people that have started cleaning businesses. I'm going to tell you, that's a God dream. That's a dream that can honor God and help others. Believe you me when I say that. Sandy Miller was telling me about her clinic that she's been able to help open out there in Chesterfield area, and they were just able to, regenerative therapy, allow a man who hadn't walked for 10 years take his first step. Like, through regenerative medicine. Like, that's a God dream. That's helping others. It's honoring God in the gifts that he's given you. Lawyers can be a God dream. Doctors. Restaurant owners. Managers. People that work in the construction field. That's helping others. Honoring God. Dreams just aren't for church ministry. And ministry isn't just defined by church jobs. Everything we do is a ministry to the world around us. Plain and simple, Journey Church, just let me close by saying this. We exist for your dream, and it is our mission to get you there. Would you join us in this journey?